This is Christ Together Radio. For the next hour, listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy discuss how God is working in the Church of Western New York. God is on a mission in Buffalo, and we want you to hear about what is happening and where it's happening, and join in. So grab that second cup of coffee and listen in to Christ Together Radio.
Welcome to another week at Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson, joining you every week, as well as Ryan Cozy. Ryan, how are you?
I'm here, baby.
You're here, loud and proud, with that big blue sweatshirt. No, I'm just kidding. Yes. It's actually light. I was just
trying. I feel insecure.
No, it's awesome. You're like a hiker guy. No, just kidding. Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy here joining you every week at Christ Together Radio, highlighting what God is doing on mission in Western New York and different avenues of how Ryan especially, as he's out and about on a daily basis talking with people about what God is doing in their context of ministry. And we're just trying to bring some of that to your attention as you drive around and are listening this morning. Maybe you poured yourself a cup of coffee on a Saturday morning and you're just tuning in and just wondering what God is doing. We want to highlight that. And Ryan, I think we want to remind people, because it's been a while since we talked about everything that Christ Together, the network, or the idea of the, I think you call them buckets of mobilization or whatever you call them. Mm-hmm. Can you just remind us what those are?
Yeah. So, as we've been working with a number of different churches for the Church of Western New York locally, and then for Christ Together nationally, it just seems as if what God is making clear to us is, as we begun to focus our energy around working together, there's three things that really have seemed to stick out to us. One is that local churches would be partnering with other local churches and other kingdom-focused ministries in the area. And so we call that like a greater body partnership toward the saturation of the gospel, because we want to see every man, woman, and child have repeated opportunities to hear, see, and respond to the message of Jesus Christ. So partnership, greater body partnership, is one of those aspects. The second is we feel strongly that new churches must be birthed in this region. We want to see new churches planted, and that's something I get really excited about. And so we want to partner with churches. We want to plant churches. That would be like a second bucket. And a third one would just be helping everyday people to understand that in order to reach every man, woman, and child, it's going to take every man, woman, and child that loves and knows Jesus. And so that they have this great freedom, that is, they're pursuing God to mobilize throughout the region. And it may not be officially through a church, or it may not be through a church plant, but God is working in and through his people. And if we begin to take that seriously, he may call us to some things that are unique and interesting. And so today, that's one of the stories that we're talking about is the teacher's desk and John Micah and a calling that God placed on his life.
That's great. And John, we're looking forward to talking to you just for a few minutes today, actually for an hour, not just a few minutes. We want people to stay tuned to us for the whole hour, as you'll hear John's story and how the teacher's desk, the idea was birthed in his heart and how God used it. And it is currently using it to bring about change in so many different lives in different ways in Western New York. So, John, thanks for being with us today.
My pleasure.
Stay tuned to Christ Together Radio. We'll be back in just a minute.
This is Christ Together Radio, a program where we help you join God on his mission. Listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy bring you into the roundtable discussion of what God is doing through the Church of Western New York.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson alongside Ryan Cozy as we host every week here on Christ Together, Saturdays at 9 a.m. and Sundays at 11 a.m. John Micah joining us in studio today. And John, tell us a little bit more about Teacher's Desk.
Sure.
And, let's start at the beginning, because we have a lot of time here to record. So, we have 2 hours of recording that we do every week, and then we play them back for you as we can. So we want to give you the full version of what God is doing through Teacher's Desk. So John, maybe how this ministry was birthed in your heart. Mm. What happened that kind of sparked the need for you?
Sure, absolutely. Thanks, Brett, for having us. Ryan, thank you.
I'm
not sure how far to go back. I could go back to the womb. That's, for me, that's where it all began. But as far as the teacher's desk, I worked with a Christian ministry called Kingdom Bound. Most of you folks know about it. I was on staff with them for 8 years. And Fred Caserta was my best friend. Freddie and I went way, way back to the early 90s. Honor to be a part of Kingdom Mound. 30 years at General Motors, retired at 48, realized that Christians don't retire. I can't find it in Scripture anywhere. Don't want to find it in Scripture anywhere. But at any rate, I was planning to go teach, and Fred Caserta got my degree in education. Freddie had another idea that I, you know, sometimes God uses folks to birth something in you, to bring something in you that you're not even thinking about. Mm-hmm. And I was not thinking about my having a gift for being able to get stuff.
Yeah.
For lack of a better term.
Yeah.
And that was with Kingdom Mound sponsorships and operating vending. What an honor to be a part of that for the 8 years, Donna and everybody at Kingdom Mound, Wendy, and all the wonderful folks through the years. Wound up getting my degree in education. Freddie talked me into staying with Kingdom Mound, or joining Kingdom Mound, hooked up with them full time. We started a program called Send a Friend, because that was the one gift he gave me that he allowed me to do, was to bring inner city kids, special needs kids, to the festival for a day every year. Reggie Dabbs would speak and play, and it was just a wonderful day. We brought about 8,000 kids through the years to the festival for one day through that program. That allowed me to work with children, which I love, and it also allowed me to work with Kingdom Mound to find my gift for being able to get product and sponsorships for them. Freddie went home to be with the Lord. I was really, really wanting to teach, so Kingdom Mound really didn't want me to leave, but it was a God thing for sure, and now we all see that. Kingdom Mound didn't see that at the time, but it was all good. They honored my belief that God was moving me. So I started teaching in the suburbs, started teaching in the city schools, and saw the incredible difference between what kids have and don't have. I had no idea. Mm-hmm. I was an auto worker, like I say. I grew up middle class. Never saw it. Heard about it, obviously. Saw it on the fringes. Mm-hmm. But once I started teaching in city schools, seeing kids that three kids would have a pencil out of a whole class, that God certainly used to put into my heart the idea to touch more than 28 lives a day. Yeah. So I had this idea for the teacher's desk. It wasn't called that. But it wasn't a name at the time. It was just an idea. Went back to Kingdom Mound, asked him if I could go back on staff with them for a couple of years.
Now, what year was this, John?
This would have been in 2009.
Okay. Wow.
2009, yep. Wound up going back on staff with them for a couple of years, not working with sponsorships, but just for this vision for opening a teacher-free store. That came together rather quickly. I had a dream about a building on Main Street, owned by Bill Hine, who was a wonderful, wonderful brother in the Lord, who I did not know at the time at all. I had his kids in Sunday school when I was a Sunday school teacher back at New Covenant back in the day. But I didn't know him. So I sent him a three-line email, true story, with this idea for a teacher-free store, and then I dreamt about his building, which was on Main Street. So 3 days after I sent him the email, he was meeting with Donna at the Kingdom Mound offices. I was in my office. Mm-hmm. And to this day, I'm sure they talked about, you know, whether I was insane or not with this idea. But we met. We had coffee. Actually, we had water next door at the pizza place. Pizza Supreme, who's a wonderful sponsor.
Oh, yeah. Desk as well.
Good folks. Anyways, we talked, and we met the next day at the building. Which was next door to the Biblical Research Library that used to be there. Mm-hmm. That was where I had the dream about. And we talked about the building. It was perfect. It had bathrooms. It had a dock. It had 5,000 square feet, which is what I needed to open. Solid. Needed a ton of work. And over 200 volunteers got the building ready when we got it.
That's great.
A lot of folks from Potter's Hands helped as well, from the chapel and all kinds of other churches. Yeah. Anyways, I asked Mr. Hine if he would mind that I really didn't want to chase rent money. Mm-hmm. I wanted to chase pencils. and he was so kind to accommodate us, wound up giving us the building rent free and utility free. I asked him if he could throw that in. He was very, very kind to do that.
Well, we're talking.
Yeah. About free. Yeah. Listen, how about a little sum for the effort? You know,
good man.
No utilities. So when you say you have a talent to get things, you mean it.
Yeah. It's certainly a gift from God. Yeah, it's a God thing.
If,
if God opens a door, I'm in.
Yeah,
And I knock all the time, so if the door opens,
something's going to happen sooner or later. Right?
Yeah. Well, you know,
that's
it's
wonderful.
Oh, just to interject real quickly, one of the things that I love about doing ministry, being called to this region, Like, I love, we're talking with a guy who put 30 in at GM.
Yeah.
And then, you know what I mean? Like, there's just this aspect of Buffalo's roots and just everyday people get still feeling like the Lord's put something on my heart. I'm going to put an honest career in, and then I'm going to go, you know, like, who at 48 years old says, hey, I'm going to go get my education degree. And yeah, I just a really cool thing to see those roots. And that's just one of the things that I just love about being in Buffalo and doing ministry here in Western New York.
It's so true. You know, I always joke that the idea that God works through me is proof that he still works through rocks and donkeys, you know, and it's true. It's God uses just everyday people because, ultimately he gets the glory.
Yeah.
And,
one of the things I get very excited about it is that, especially to have this opportunity to talk. I would rather personally just be at the desk right now with our volunteers loading shelves, getting things ready. but for me as a Christian and being a Christian for 30-some years now, I just feel that it's so important for folks to understand that living for Jesus is the most practical thing that we can do. Mm. We're called to do it, not only as the church, but we're called to live that life so others can see it.
Yeah.
And that's what the teacher's desk is.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Can I interject, John? Just a question. I mean, you're talking about like, hey, I started at 18 at GM. I retired at 48, and I went into teaching. I mean, it just seems like you can just pass through that, going, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. What was the drive for education for you?
Nothing in particular. I really clearly have always, since the day I was born again, I've always, and that was 1985. I've always had a heart for children. Okay. And a heart to, Sunday school teacher, Sunday school director, all those things through the years. But I was always passionate about showing God's children the truth and the simple way and the practical way to live your life for God.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that was always the drive to be with kids and help kids out.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Now, do you feel that... I talk to a lot of people who end up in ministry later in life, and do you feel that your work at GM and kind of what God brought you through was preparing you for this this is the crescendo.
There's no doubt about it.
This is funny because we just talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but you go for it. Yeah, this is cool.
There's no doubt that my 30 years at GM, actually I became a Christian in 1985. I had 13 years at GM. I could not wait to quit my job. That doesn't sound practical.
17 more to go.
That doesn't sound practical. I could not wait to go to Zimbabwe with my family. My son Brian was 2 at the time, and Melissa, our daughter, was 4. My wife was petrified.
You were going to Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe. I wanted to be a missionary full time. And my brother Paul, who was a wonderful seasoned Christian at GM, came in from power training and. You hit it with certain brothers. Me and Paul were like that. German guy, very, very stoic, very, tell you straight out like it is. So I said, Paul, I'm going to Zimbabwe. I said, I love my job, or I said, I love what I do in Christ, and I think God sent me to Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
And he said, really, brother? He says, why is that? And I said, because I think God's telling me to do it, and besides, I really hate it here. Those were the wonderful, wonderful words to say, because it doesn't go together.
Yeah,
but Paul said in his wise way, brother, he says, if you're going to go to Zimbabwe, he says, okay, he says, I'll help you pack. But this is all they said to me was read Colossians 3:23 first. Mm-hmm. So I'm a new Christian. I'm only a couple of months in the Lord.
Right.
I had no idea what Colossians 3:23 said. So when I quickly got my Bible, that Bible over there, very excited to Colossians 3:23, which says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not man. Mm. When I realized that moment, so a true story. At that moment when I was working, that I was working for God and not for GM, the last 20 years of my time at GM, I was head over heels in love with my job.
Wow.
From that moment, never thought about Zimbabwe again, except to tell this story probably for the millionth time now.
But God used it.
He used it to teach me that everything in life you do for God.
Right.
Everything. Whatever you do, you're passionate about it with all your heart for God. For his glory.
And what's really cool is that in doing that and kind of being satisfied in what God gave you in the moment, he was preparing you for something that would be the desire of your heart in a ministry fashion.
Absolutely.
And of course, you're doing ministry all along, but when we learn to get content in where God has us at the time, and this is such a lesson, Ryan, even for today.
It's huge.
Because with, I hate to pick on social media because I like social media, but social media, the church is high profile in many ways, and we were just joking earlier about the stage, the size of stages and stuff like that. And it's so true because there's so often, and Pastor Jerry, I've heard him preach on this, is that we're always looking for the great thing, the great stage that God has for us, or we want to do great things. And what we don't realize is that by just doing the everyday things as unto the Lord, those are the great things.
Absolutely.
And those are preparing us for something he might have for us later that's different or better or whatever.
Yeah. And I want to add to this is because we're shining a light on this, like one of the buckets that we're trying to create awareness in this radio show is helping everyday people understand mobilization. And so as you're listening to John's story, I mean, some of the things that I think about are, one, you know, God kept him in his position of employment. He fell in love with it. I'm sure God used you in an amazing way there. And so if you're, you know, sometimes we're chasing the wind and we're running after things that there's no there. I had a professor in graduate school say, hey, there's no there. Yeah. And his point for me was, you know, stay focused on what you're doing. He wasn't a believer, but for me, I would take that as, yeah, God, you have me here in this moment. I want to bring glory to you by being excellent at what I'm doing here. And when you make it painfully clear to me that I should move on, then I'll move on, but I don't want to chase the wind. And I think that if you're listening here today to this show, that's just an important lesson that maybe God has you there for a reason. Don't necessarily discount. And look at Colossians 3:23. Mm-hmm. You know, take a look at that.
It's true. It's such a lesson that, very, very often in the show, Ryan, we talk about things that people are doing, but there are such great lessons, and maybe we should do that a little more, but that we can bring out of people like John's story. And we're going to get into a story. We've got plenty of time to do that. But just initially starting out with learning about what God has asked him to do with Teacher's Desk is that the story of the long road.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much value in that. And I've been fortunate enough in my life to watch that and others, including my dad, but just people who I've been able to watch who have just walked the long, steady road. And sometimes it's been tough and sometimes it's been great. But rather than chase the wind, it's buckle down.
Mm-hmm.
And serve the Lord through it, and realize that we're not chasing things for ourselves.
Right.
It's huge, and I'm glad you brought that up, Ryan. Well, listen, you're listening to Christ. I told you to listen, so you have to listen to me now. You're listening to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson with Ryan Cozy, and we've invited John Micah to the Christ Together desk today, and talking about what he's doing with the Teacher's Desk. And I know we've highlighted it on WDCX a few times, but I want to dig deeper, John, into your story. And to, we talked initially about how God birthed this in your heart, but maybe get into some real stories of how it got started. We talked about Bill being so, I'm sure he's going to love us for mentioning him, but whatever.
No, not at all.
He doesn't like the spotlight.
Yeah, he doesn't. I know.
No, but how gracious and wonderful he's been to so many in Western New York,
but
in your case, and then how God has used that to reach lives for the sake of the gospel, and just how, Ryan, again, how this fits into every man, woman, and child seeing the gospel time and time and time again.
Absolutely.
And how important that is. So keep listening to Christ Together Radio. We'll be right back with John Micah. We're talking about Teacher's Desk. Don't forget to check us out online, WDCXradio.com. Go to programs, click Christ Together Radio. You can send us an email, ask us a question, or find information about past shows on there. This is WDCX. I'm Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy. We'll be right back.
Email your questions to Brett and Ryan about anything you've heard or just about anything you can think of. Send them to ctr@wdcxradio.com. That's ctr@wdcxradio.com.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson alongside Ryan Cozy as we host every week here on Christ Together, Saturdays at 9 a.m. and Sundays at 11 a.m. Today, John Micah from the Teacher's Desk joining us in studio as we highlight things that God is doing or people that God is using, really, in Western New York, and that's what Christ Together is all about, Ryan. It's about people and their stories and how God is mobilizing them for the sake of the gospel. And it's been cool to hear just the beginnings of what God was doing in John's heart
Several
years ago.
Yeah, it's really cool. And I look forward to hearing more of the story here for our listening audience. John, as I'm looking, you obviously when you came in today, you gave us a handful of things that just kind of give us a little bit of a who, what, where, when, why, and how for Teacher's Desk. But you also gave me two really cool things. One is the book by Watchman Nee, which is called Sit, Walk, Stand. And I'm also looking at your Bible, which is 31 years old, well-worn, covered in packaging tape, like a fine, like the fine product that it is, yeah. And with lots of stickers of kids' names all over it. And so I'm just wondering, would love to hear a little bit more about just these things in general. Obviously, these sure. books have significance to you, but tell me a little bit about it.
Sure. The Bible I bought just after I was born again. If any new believers are out there listening, buy a Bible with the largest print you can live with right now, because you're going to need it later, 30 years later in life.
What are you saying?
I got a real fine print one.
Yeah.
I think I spent $9 for it. Wound up needing a new cover. And that's a funny story. I was talking about Bill Hine earlier. He owns Hine Publishing Company. And I really didn't trust my Bible with anybody. Ever. In fact, I don't even like it at the other side of the table, Ryan.
Okay, I'll...
Thank you. No, I'm just teasing. But at any rate, I wound up giving it to his publishing company to recover for me in leather. So that's the second cover that's been on it. They chopped it up real nice and made it beautiful. They did a great job. But the reason I brought that in and also Watchman Nee's book, Sit, Walk, Stand, is I just finished reading it probably for the 30th time. I try to figure out in my own life what God has done in me to give folks the understanding and myself the understanding of why this walk is so practical. Why you know, when I was first born again, you know, I had all these doubts about the reality of Christ and all these things before I was born again, I should say. Mm-hmm. But when I was baptized in the Niagara River, I came, somebody asked me, "Do you believe?" And I was obviously, and I was raised up out of the water. Just before that, I said, without a doubt. And he has given me that faith to believe, to understand that every moment that we live here is to be spent glorifying him. Mm-hmm. It's not not in a religious way or any kind of weird way at all. It's just who we are. That's mm-hmm. what I love about the desk, that it's so mm-hmm. practical. So anyways, these two books, Watchman Nee, and my Bible. My Bible obviously is well-worn. It's been wonderful. It's mm-hmm. been my best friend. I'm so, God didn't have to give me the word or give us the word, but I'm so grateful he did. Mm-hmm. It's such a practical book.
Yeah.
Watchman Nee's book, Sit, Walk, Stand, helps you to understand. It's just a simple, you could read that in two nights, mm-hmm. Which I do often, that we're seated in Christ. Once we realize that we are seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, once that's a fact in your walk, then you're all set for the next part, which is walking with Christ. Hmm. So you can't walk the walk unless you realize that you're in Christ. Hmm. So sit, walk, and then you take your stand against the enemy.
Yeah.
In that order, if you live in that order, you've got it made. Then you can understand that all things do truly work together for good. Hmm. And it's obvious that it does, no matter what it is. The highest high and the lowest low. It's all working together for good because you're seated in Christ.
Mm. So, John, how important in your view, and I kind of know the answer, but I think I want to talk about it, so this is just a mm-hmm. very bad radio segue, really, but how important is it that people who are desire to serve God, that God has put something into their heart, how important is it that they are in God's Word every day? Because by the looks of the Bible, it's been used. And you can tell a lot by a worn Bible, and people always joke. The problem with me is I get too fickle. I like different ones, so none of them look that good. So I need to start working on that. How important is it that people who desire to serve the Lord in some way are in God's Word on a consistent basis?
Yeah. You know, Brett, I hope you understand what I'm mm-hmm. saying here. You know, I read it constantly. I read the Word all the time. Yeah. I have it on my phone as well. I have it in worship. But But it's critical to understand, I think anyways, and Pastor Jerry and I'm sure some pastors out there hearing this, whoever's hearing it, may not agree with me. But as wonderful as the word is, it's Christ in us that's the motivator. So I can look at a tree, I can look at the sun, and I'm seeing Scripture. You know, is it because I read Scripture so much? I don't think so. I don't think so. The Watchman, in fact, I think it's in this book. He says there was a Chinaman who he had gone through their village sharing the gospel, and him and his wife both came to Christ. They were believers. Watchman had to leave the city and go on his journey, but he said, I'll be back. He said to the two folks, live for your God. So they're sitting at the table having their dinner, and before they had dinner, they used to the husband used to have some wine. Over and over and over he'd drink. I don't know if it was a lot or doesn't say, it doesn't matter. But what does matter is this guy had no word. He didn't have his Bible, but he had the Spirit living within him. So he said, I can't drink. I can't have a drink of my wine before dinner. So the wife said, we'll have to talk to Watchman when he comes back and find out why, but for now we'll just put it aside. So they put it aside, and Watchman came through some months later, and he explained the story. So he said, well, why wouldn't you drink? Why couldn't you drink? He said, the resident boss, the Holy Spirit, the resident boss wouldn't let me. You know, he didn't have the word, but he had it. Well, so I think at the same time, it's very critical to read the word.
Yeah.
I mean, my Bible has probably thousands of notes in it, thousands of little things that God has done in me. So, but that and the practicality of living for your God is...
Yeah, creation speaks to God's glory for sure.
Yeah.
You know, that's great.
You bet.
You're listening to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson alongside Ryan Cozy. We're talking with John Micah, just kind of getting the background story of what developed in his heart to start the teacher's desk here in right here in Buffalo, and a place where, well, I guess we really haven't told people what it is, so I should probably let you do that. You'll do it much better than I will. Tell us what the teacher's desk is.
Sure.
So this thing where you said you were working in public schools to take people back in Buffalo, you noticed some real issues with supplies, things like that. Let's go from there. Let's pick up now where you see it. You see a need. You get a building. Mm-hmm. 200 volunteers shape this building. Why?
Mainly because God called me to it. You know, he gave me the vision to do it. I didn't want to miss it. When Mr. Hines said okay on the building, I said to Brenda, my wife, wives are incredible. I cannot believe how incredible she is. We just celebrated 42 years of marriage.
Congratulations.
43, forgive me.
Wow.
We'll edit that.
We'll be a treat. Okay. Thank you. We'll edit that out. Anyways, I went back to her and said, Mr. Hines said okay on the building. So if we do this, I want you to understand, and she knew this, that this is the rest of our lives. You know, God gives all of us pieces of works throughout our lives that grow and grow and grow and change. And sometimes we're in the same thing for our whole lives, and that's wonderful. Sometimes we're supporting a vision, which is wonderful. But sometimes he gives us something to do that you know is it. So I remember I was on Channel 4 News a while back, and the reporter, Newberg or whoever it was, I don't forget who it was. Anyways, he asked me about the teacher's desk, and I said, I know without a doubt that God has given me the teacher's desk for the rest of my life, whether I live another minute or I live another 40 years, 50 years, whatever it might be, whatever life I have lit in me, it's going to be the teacher's desk. So anyways, the teacher's desk is the store where teachers shop for free for kids in need. I've always loved kids. When I saw the difference between the suburbs and the city schools, that's what birthed the vision. Certainly God was in it. The thing that I love about what we do, having now weekly we have 200 volunteers, is that a portion of them are Christians, not a large portion, maybe 30, just people passionate about giving. What a group
helping
that we
others.
Have. What, yeah, just helping. It's better to give than receive. God honors that, no matter what walk of life you're walking in. But the thing that I love about it is that we always play Christian music. They always see me and Jim, and they know we're in love with the Lord. We talk about it.
John, what were some of your fears going into this? it would seem to me, and it would, just knowing myself, a fear of mine would be like, I'm going to do this thing and no one's going to care. Or that, you know, maybe teachers won't come.
Not even a thought. If God's in it, he paves the way.
Right, right.
Not even a thought. Maybe that's something missing in my brain. I'm glad it is.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, yeah.
I was just wondering if there's anything like natural, like, okay, I'm going to put this, but no teachers are going to come. So you're finding, and forgive my ignorance because I'm not a teacher, I don't know, mm-hmm. but you're finding that in the city schools, and sometimes in radio we ask questions that we kind of know the answer to, but
sure.
I'm leading you into this. In the city schools, the issues with education aren't really teacher-based, that there are teachers who genuinely desire to help kids.
Three things happen at the teacher's desk. One is we help students in need. Mm-hmm. And right now we have 220 schools that shop there. 220. Wow. We're in 9 counties, all of Western New York. They come from Rochester, they come from Salamanca, Dunkirk, Fredonia, Niagara Falls, all over, 220 schools. Any school that has 70% or more of the students eligible for free reduced lunch, those are the schools that are invited to come. So we're really hitting
That's your criteria for being able
That's
to
the
shop.
Vision. Okay. Yeah. So if anybody's listening, they're in a school system that is not with us yet, love to have you.
And that's more than just the city schools. People tend to think of Buffalo because it's the biggest.
No.
But that's
many. That was our core. We started with Buffalo.
Districts too. Yep.
In 2011, when we opened, we had about 50. Mm-hmm. And that was Buffalo schools. And we stretched out to Niagara Falls and now parts of Lockport and on and on and on. We just are much bigger. Mm-hmm. That was the first part of it. The second part is you're talking about these teachers. We have 10,000 teachers in our database now, and 6,000 teachers will shop there this year. They'll come in the doors crying. They'll come in the doors saying it's Christmas. My volunteers have had it with me because now I play just Christian music, but for months and months and months, I play Christmas music.
Yeah.
Just Christmas music. Because they always say it's like Christmas in here.
Yeah.
The thing that I love about one of those surprises that God has given me that I didn't realize would happen, I knew we were helping kids in need, and I knew that would be effective 120,000 children this year. But I did not realize at the time how we'd be affecting teachers' lives, how they would be having a horrible Monday, and they would send us a note saying, you've encouraged us. We know that there's somebody in the community, God and community, that care about us. That to me is huge, because you can take that back to school with you. That's why I insist on the store itself being a really wonderful setting. Seven aisles. Filled with all kinds of supplies, donated shelving. It's all brand. It looks like a Office Max, I would say. Some wouldn't, but it's very, very close. It's very close. But it's an inviting experience. Shopping carts for the teachers, donated by Home Depot. They'll shop the seven aisles, and volunteers will be assisting them throughout. And they'll also pack all their product. And then at the end of the day, when they leave, the $1,000 in supplies each teacher gets will be taken to their cars by a bunch of old guys like us and a bunch of high school kids from Canisius and some other schools in the area.
You're listening to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson alongside Ryan Cozy as we co-host every week here on Christ Together Radio. John Micah from the Teacher's Desk joining us today, talking about just the vision and the seed that God planted in his heart to help young people through the Teacher's Desk and just kind of answer God's call for representing the gospel in this way. And Ryan had just meeting John recently, I guess,
yeah.
Right? And kind of coming together to understand what God is doing through the teacher's desk. We want to get a little deeper into what happens at the store, maybe some stories that you can share with us, John, of what you've seen God do in the hearts of young people and in teachers even through the years that you've been open now. And we'll get into that a little deeper here in just a minute. We got to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Stay tuned to Christ Together Radio. You can hear us every week, 9 a.m. on Saturdays and 11 a.m. on Sundays. So make sure you tune into Christ Together Radio. Stay with us.
This is Christ Together Radio with WDCX General Manager Brent Larson and Pastor Ryan Cozy, Pastor of Missional Living at The Chapel.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson, Ryan Cozy. Now we're your hosts every week on Christ Together Radio. So tune us in. If you want to catch up on past episodes, go to WDCXradio.com, click on programs, scroll down to Christ Together Radio, and you'll be able to check out our previous recordings. They're all, I guess they call it podcasted or streaming.
Archived.
Archived, streaming for you there. And you can listen to them, catch up on what we've talked about, and also send us an email if you want. There's a form there right on the front page when you get there. Just shoot us an email, give us some feedback, let us know if there's something that you're involved in that you'd like us to cover on Christ Together Radio. We'd love to talk to you as well. Talking about what God does when people answer his call, and today we have John Micah here at the Christ Together table talking about the teacher's desk and just how that whole idea birthed in his heart and just the unique ways in which God is used. And we're talking about, we kind of finished our last little segment there talking about the facility and kind of what the teacher's desk is, and just fascinating how the aisles and it's like a store. You said it's like a Office Max or an Office Depot or something. You just
like
could go in and for, you know, schools that do qualify for this, they can go in and shop. And Ryan, you were saying that you were just so impressed.
Yeah, you know, a couple of weeks ago, turn of the new year, I guess it was, I had a chance to head on over to the teacher's desk just to get a, just honestly, I'm like, this is a ministry doing great work. I'd never been. I'm friends with one of their board members, Alyssa Gross. And so she's, I think she's been a great asset for teacher's desk and just a great friend of their ministry. And you know, sometimes the reality is, and this is okay, you know, when you get involved in urban ministry contexts, you come to understand and you come to appreciate that people are doing good work, and they're doing good work with what they have available to them. And so there are times when you walk into certain contexts and you say, hey, this is what they can do, and it's fantastic, and you have a deep sense of appreciation for it. There are other times too when you walk in and you go, holy smokes, whoa, this is way different. And so when I walked in to the teacher's desk, the phrase, I use this phrase every once in a while, like when something is just like the trains run on time and everything is clean and neat, I just say, man, this place is tight and right. And I feel like when I walk into the teacher's desk, that I just felt like, wow, this place is tight and it's right. Every shopping cart matches. I mean, that sounds like a little thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, when the Home Depot donates a bunch of carts, like, they're all the same color. They're, you know, they're evenly stocked. You walk in, there's nothing on the floors. Like, everything is very clean. It's very pristine. And if I'm a teacher walking into this facility, I think there's some words that I think about that would probably come to my mind. Number one, I would feel valued. That what I'm about to receive, there's great value in this. Not just a financial value, but people are seeing altruistically beyond just what these materials are. There's a kingdom value here. And I think the second word is dignity, that someone is going to go in there and they're not going to have their head down. They're going to have their head up, and they're going to know that they got a friend in the fight for quality education in these areas that I think you said, if what was the percentage of students that
70.
So if 70% of the students are more qualified for
free or reduced lunch.
So this is your target. So if I'm a teacher in one of these contexts, I feel like there's dignity in this. And so just to take a tour of the facility with someone who's passionate about it, and to see, you know, honestly, it's not an overt in your face proclamation of the gospel, but it's everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere you look in this facility, there are silent, very clear pronunciations of who Jesus is and why this organization exists. And I just felt so encouraged to see it. And I felt like I could be, as someone who's looking to partner with different ministries in the region, like I can be a champion for this ministry because I have a clearer sense of what's going on here. And it just, you know, value and dignity, those are really important words, I think, for educators on the front line doing hard work. So, yeah.
It's true. I mean, when you're in that, we call it a context. What we're talking about is if you're just in that environment or in that situation where you're, you might be a teacher in a school district that doesn't have a lot of money, and or the families don't have a lot of money, and it's difficult. And I think it's my guess is, John, you this is part of your vision, is that you want them to come in and experience something that says they're valued, and that what you do matters. And that's some of the design of why you created that.
Without a doubt. We want teachers to be encouraged, but at the same time, like Ryan was saying, we have one of the million signs in the building. There's a 4-foot teddy bear that's sitting up on the one shelf, giant teddy bear, and he's holding a sign, and it has our logo, the teacher's desk, and it says below that, "Because God is good." Mm-hmm. We are so eager, I am so eager, for them to take that truth home with them. Again, when they're having a down day, or maybe they have a friend who's sharing the gospel with them, maybe they are a believer. And we have hundreds and hundreds of teachers that are believers that come through and you know, are encouraged in the Lord. You know, when they're struggling at school, the body of Christ, God uses that to encourage a teacher. So it's a good thing.
Yeah, it is. Well, there is people, I don't think we can underestimate or underscore the value of doing things with excellence when we do things for Christ. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's not possible to spend the money or to be able to, you know, do whatever we can to make it awesome in our earthly terms. But I think again, it goes to Colossians, whatever you put your hand to, do it well.
Yeah,
do it to the Lord.
And everybody has a scripture. That's mine.
That's your scripture. Yeah. And that's it's so true. It's when we get involved in something, and if God gives you, plants that seed of just desiring your heart for a certain ministry, when you get involved in that, to give it your all and to do it with excellence. I think it was D. James Kennedy had a sign in his office, I believe it was in his office or something like that, that said, excellence in all things and in all things excellence. Mm-hmm. And it really reflects on what you've desired for the teacher's desk. Now, I have a different question. When somebody comes in, we keep saying teachers shop there. Is it only teachers that shop at the teacher's desk?
It is. We do give product to ministries, to daycares, to we have a program called A Gift for Christmas that we started with Kingdom Bound, Freddie and I. Yeah. We've given about 100,000 toys to kids in need. Mm-hmm. So those go to churches, things like that. But for the most part, my buddy Angelo told me years and years and years ago, some things just stick with you.
Yeah.
Angelo, solid Italian guy, mm-hmm. Said to me, John, he says, whatever you do in life, you make sure you mind your own vision. Not mind your own business, but mind your own vision. So our vision is pre-K through 12th grade teachers. That's the key. That's how we can affect the most children possible. But there's a third part to what the teacher's desk is. We might want to talk about this a little bit. It's all of us need purpose. Mm-hmm. All of God's creation, he's put us all here for a reason. When you lock into the purpose that he's put you on this planet for, first to love his son, to accept what he's wonderfully done for us. We'll be celebrating it shortly. Mm-hmm. When you lock into that, and then you start walking in that purpose, you're all set. My purpose is the teacher's desk, but there's aspects that'll be shooting out of that I know that God's up to. I've mm-hmm. seen it, and he'll confirm it by signs and wonders. Mm-hmm. We have 200 weekly volunteers. Can we talk about that now?
Sure,
a little bit?
Okay. Absolutely.
We have 200 weekly volunteers, 97 of which are special needs, adults and children. I was a graduate of Kemmerer East, and they actually send a bus there every Wednesday. I'm sorry, every Tuesday. They just came yesterday. Mm-hmm. And 15 kids. It's just incredible that they'll be packing our pencils, our crayons. We have 18 special needs groups that volunteer weekly now, Monday through Thursday. Corey Hine, Bill Hine's daughter, is actually our special needs volunteer coordinator. She does a great job mm-hmm. Overseeing that aspect of the desk. But the vision continues. My mom and dad were deaf, so special needs has always been right from the beginning in my heart. So we're hoping to start a business. That's the next part of our work. That business will be to support special needs adults to earn a living, to have some dignity, to have some purpose, to be rewarded for doing what they do. Like now, we have the 97 kids, and every one of them you know, they get to go shopping when it's somebody's birthday. Everybody gets to shop. Everybody gets
that's
a gift.
Fun.
Yeah, that's fun for them.
And with 50% of your volunteer base being special needs, yeah. too, that's not negligible. No,
that's a lot of birthdays. Yeah.
They get excited.
Yeah. Is it 97 birthdays probably, right?
It is. Wow, yeah. Crazy. Not all of them remember, though. So,
so Ryan, you were wondering how he manages the stock. That's how.
Yeah,
it just goes.
It just goes.
It just goes, yeah. Not a ton that way, but it's special.
That's great. Yeah.
But I long for the day where we can hire some folks. Today we have Ooh and Greg, two special needs adults. Mm-hmm. Ooh actually came through the system of the volunteer system, School 42, OTC, Buffalo Public School. They volunteered with us every Wednesday. Today they're there right now at the desk, loading shelves, doing their thing. Ooh was actually one of the students, 17 through 21 years old, that was a part of the program. He is now an employee of the teacher's desk. Yeah. He works for us 8 hours a week, Monday, Tuesdays, and Thursdays. Greg rotates with him Monday and Wednesday. And so I would like to grow that more and more and more and then create a product that the teacher's desk can sell. More than likely, it's going to be school supplies, mm-hmm. crayons, pencils, things like that, that we can create our brand name on it, sell it to school systems that can afford to buy it, and also in stores and online, things like that, mm-hmm. with the proceeds going to allow these adults to earn a living. Yeah. And also to provide for the teacher's desk so I don't have to have golf tournaments and all these kinds of things.
Well, yeah, this is really cool. So for me personally, I got to meet Ooh.
Yeah.
And so again, you know, when you know, it's one thing to hear a story, it's another thing to meet the person behind the story. And so I remember walking back to my car with Alyssa Gross. She's walking back to her car after I toured the place, and I just thought, man, God, you are good, and you are up to something here. You know, that's one of the things that I felt. And the other thing, though, that I appreciate about John, what you're trying to do is, you know, there's the reality is, like, these types of ministries, sometimes the struggle for sustainability is there. It's and you're, you know, sometimes you're so focused on it that you can't always focus on the mission, that you know, you want to mind your own vision, mm-hmm. right? And so just the idea of a business plan coming to your mind, and like a legitimate business plan, this sounds really interesting, and a way to provide sustainability outside of, you know, golf tournaments and other fundraising events. And I mean, you know, there's ministries and local churches that are excited about this, but you know, to see you thinking about that, it's super encouraging. And if people are listening, our listening audience, that's the one thing I don't want to take for granted. Is like sometimes I know these stories, you know these stories, you live these stories and experience those stories. But if you're listening to this, there, man, if you're pressing into God, if you're seeking God, and He's giving you ideas, don't ignore what He's doing. Don't ignore the ideas, because when we talk about reaching every man, woman, and child in this two-county area, I know you're serving nine counties. We focus primarily right now on Niagara and Erie County. That's 1.2 million people. Mm-hmm. And God, I think when we press into Him, He's birthing visions and ideas in our mind all the time, if yet only we would listen to Him. And so this is just one of the joys of learning about the teacher's desk, is we have before us someone who is listening to the call on his life. God's using him, and the ideas that are coming forth are amazing, and they are blessing a variety of people in numerous ways all around him.
Mm-hmm. They are. It's got to feel good to just, I know you have, God is consistently putting new things in your heart, you know, or expanded things to do with them, but it's got to be good to just once in a while push the pause button and look around and say, wow.
Yeah.
And Not in a prideful way, but just in a, wow, look what happens when we listen to Him, to what God has for us.
One of the stories that I love to tell the Canisius High School boys is when they're volunteering, and we have a lot of them, is that what New Testament story does this remind you of, the teacher's desk? When I take them in the warehouse and see hundreds of pallets of product, when I take them in the store and see the thousands of dollars that go out, to $200,000 a week, what does it remind you of? Inevitably, each one comes with the miracle of the loaves and fishes. I get to live that miracle. I get to live and be there in that miracle daily. I feel like, you know, I was driving on the way here this morning, driving by Sisters Hospital, praying for the folks in there. And, you know, I looked and I thought, you know, it's such a privilege to be able to be on the road, to be able to work for our God, to be used by our God. you know, and I never take that for granted. I am honored each day that he allows me to do it. And the faith that builds up with being at the teacher's desk is just, it's an honor.
That's a great example. John 14 tells us that, Jesus reminds us that, you know, if you love me, you'll continue to do the works that I do. And you'll continue on with what Christ began. And what an example of someone who loves Jesus, who is willing to continue on with a work that I think Jesus would be proud of.
It's an honor.
This is Christ Together Radio. That's John Micah was talking to us for the last hour about the teacher's desk. And John, you'll be with us next week. You'll stick around.
Be an honor.
And all right, great. We're going to have John on next week as well on Christ Together Radio, 9 a.m. on Saturdays, 11 a.m. on Sundays. Ryan, thanks. Another great show.
Yeah.
Another one for the books.
Let's keep it rolling, baby.
Let's keep it rolling. And we will keep it rolling. So tune in. If you want to check out more about Christ Together Radio, go to WDCXradio.com, click on Christ Together Radio, and you'll find all the different episodes that we've done, some information about us, and also a link to the broader Christ Together Network and what God is doing through the different buckets that Ryan talked about at the beginning of the show, the different avenues that Christ Together is involved in to see gospel saturation happen, not only in our region, but across our country. Brett Larson for Ryan Cozy. Have a great week, and go serve your King.
Thanks for listening to Christ Together Radio. To join in, email Brett and Ryan at ctr@wdcxradio.com. Join us next week for more great discussion about Christ together.